Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dean Richards, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Where it is 9:37. Time now for another check-in on all things COVID that we started a couple of years ago when the pandemic started, and then things flared up and things died down and things flared up and things died down. And I hope we're not on the verge of another flare-up. Dr. Robert Murphy joins us this week, professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Murphy, very nice to talk to you. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Dean.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back outside again, all of a sudden we're seeing upticks in what's being called Omicron 2, BA2, that I guess is going crazy in some parts of the world, and we're beginning to see upticks here in the United States as well. How concerned should we be?
Well, we need to be concerned. We need to be vigilant. But it's not going to be like the last Omicron surge in January. That's the good news. It's going to increase, it's a 30% more contagious variant than the original one. But so many people have had Omicron, and so many people are vaccinated, that you're going to see a relatively small uptick. It's going to go up, though.
But it is not going to have the same kind of catastrophic results that we've seen in the past, and mostly because of vaccination, you're saying?
Right. Vaccination is going to keep it down, plus all the people that got Omicron in January and February. That's going to kind of hold this thing down to a dull roar. But it's going to pop up, and this is going to be the pattern that we're going to see over the next few years. It's going to be very similar to flu, except instead of coming once a year, it could come maybe two or three times a year.
Yeah, is that going to the determinant in that will be how the variants mutate, I guess, and what they become next?
Exactly. Now, ultimately, this thing cannot, there's only so much you can mutate. And it may just mutate itself down to something, relatively minor. You just can't mutate it completely. So I think, the outlook is just going to be like what everybody is saying, that this is going to become a chronic disease that most people will be able to handle because of prior infection and vaccination.
So yet in Asia right now, I know in some parts of Europe, this is just really out of control. But is it just like a flu epidemic in those places then?
No. Well, first of all, there's two different things happening. So Asia is getting creamed right now because of their very strict lockdown measures. In other words, there were a lot of people that hadn't had it. Their vaccines they use over there are not that good. And they're just getting whomped by this thing because now they're loosening up. They see the West loosening up and people say, oh, we can just live with this. Mm-hmm. They want to do the same thing. And they're paying kind of a weird price for actually controlling the virus. China's a mess right now. Mm-hmm. South Korea. It's all over Australia, New Zealand. But the thing is, the death rate is not like what it used to be. Their death rate is much, much, much lower. And that's because the treatment for COVID is much better.
Yeah.
And the vaccines do help.
So typically, how would what kind of symptoms might one be exhibiting if they do become exposed to this?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same stuff. You cannot tell if you've got a strep throat, if you've got the flu, if you've got some other cold virus, or you have this thing. You absolutely cannot tell. So that's why you have to be vigilant and get tested. And the testing has improved incredibly. You can walk into any of these, most of these medical evaluation units and urgent care centers, and they have right there, they have rapid tests for COVID, for flu, for strep, all the things that cause these respiratory things, and you can get it tested right there.
Okay. All right. So if there are people, and we know that there are people who never got vaccinated, never got boosted, what kind of potential danger might they be facing from this?
The mortality rate in that group is going to be much higher. If you look at who's dying from COVID, and COVID is very lethal compared to all these other ones, by the way, let's not forget that. And this is no different. It's the unvaccinated, particularly the unvaccinated that never got sick or they had COVID before Omicron, because these new variants, the old virus, the immunity, the natural immunity, you don't get very much of it. And plus that immunity fades over time. So that's why we're back to the vaccines, and the FDA is meeting next week, or actually it's I think April 6th, to discuss whether people should get a second booster.
So what is the status of a second booster shot? I've been hearing that we could hear something in the next week or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so of the two major manufacturers in the United States right now, Pfizer and Moderna, Pfizer applied to the FDA to give a second booster to people who are older and people who are have underlying diseases. So kind of a group of people that are at risk for dying. Moderna has gone in and just said, hey, look, if anyone's going to get a booster, everybody should get a booster. This is a philosophy that I agree with. And that, you know, who wants to get COVID? Nobody should want to get COVID. Right. COVID is a bad thing. And, you know, even these younger people, at least 14% of them are going to have symptoms many months after the original infection. That's called long COVID, as you know. And you don't want to get that. We're just learning about that. And what we're learning is not good.
What is the status of vaccines for very young kids, Doctor?
Yeah, there was some encouraging news with the Moderna one at a very low dose in young kids that will also be presented to the FDA to decide. We'll see. So, you know, they're moving in the right direction. But, you know, with kids, especially little kids, you know, you've got to really be, you know, super careful. We know it's safe in adults. It's probably safe in kids. But they've got to get the dose right. And that's what's happening now. So we still don't have anything. But the last study from Moderna looked very promising.
So I see some people indoors still wearing masks. I see some people outdoors still wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Most people are not. What would be your recommendation on masking or no masking?
Well, it really depends on your status. If you have any underlying disease, and there are many, it's basically a third of the population has some kind of disease. If you have any of that, or you're older, you're even 60 years of age and older, you know, you can pick your cutoff wherever you want. But if you're at all at risk for severe disease, you should be wearing a mask when you're indoors in the public. Because, you know, we're having this uptick. I have to tell you, after all this, I actually got COVID last week.
Really?
Working in the hospital.
Your first time during this whole
time? Patients with COVID, yes.
Wow.
Amazing. I have no idea.
Even Dr. Murphy. Even Dr. Murphy can get it.
Dr. Murphy got COVID. Yeah, and wow. I don't know, but I'm vaccinated and I'm taking Paxlovid. So that's one of the treatments. And the treatment is very good. So if you get it and you're older, or you have any underlying medical condition, like one third of the population,
yeah,
you should take that Paxlovid. It was hard finding it, but I found it.
What is Paxlovid?
Paxlovid is the Pfizer oral drug. It's a protease inhibitor against COVID. It cuts the hospitalization and death rate by 90%. Doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or not.
Wow.
And it works really great. And, you know, it's available. You got to do your homework to get it. And the problem is you have to take it within 5 days of your symptoms starting.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it probably doesn't do any good. So it's an early treatment. This was a very painful lesson in drug development. It has to be taken early. So as soon as you have a symptom, get tested. If it's positive and you're in one of those risk groups, take this drug. It will help you.
Yeah. Now, how does somebody go about?
Only 5 days.
How does somebody go about finding that? I mean, you ask your physician, I suppose.
Well, you the drug is being it's a physician prescription only, but you've got to so you ask your physician, and then you know you can call your pharmacy and see if they have it or if they will. There's actually a central number for each Walgreens and CVS, at least, and others, I think, also, that tell you where the doses are in the city. Like yesterday, when I got this diagnosis, the only place that had it was in Canary Hill, 4700 South Halsted. Hmm. So, you know, I just drove down there and picked it up. It was very efficient.
Yeah,
but that was one of two places that Walgreens had in the entire city of Chicago.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. So physically, you may have trouble finding it, of somebody stocking it in order for you.
I had a patient I prescribed it for out in the suburbs. Had to call 20 different places.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, though, that, I mean, how far in these 2 years that we've come with treatments like this compared to the days when we were, you know, wiping our groceries down when we,
exactly.
You know, at the beginning of all this, when we were just
exactly.
had so many questions that we couldn't answer.
But now we have some treatment options, and we need to use everything to get through these waves. And I think what we'll see is these waves will come and they will go. And I think, other than Omicron really being kind of an outlier, I think these next waves are going to be relatively small.
Well, let's get some questions answered here at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, to call or text Dr. Robert Murphy from Northwestern. 953, Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine, on the line with us today. And Dr. Murphy, a lot of people texting in asking the name of the medication that you talked about again. Was it Paxlovid? Was that right?
Yeah, that's it. Paxlovid. Paxlovid. It's made by Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, maker of the vaccine, but a completely different branch, the medication one. And it's a 3 tablets twice a day for 5 days. It's approved by the FDA. And it's available. I highly recommend it if you're in one of those high-risk groups. It is not for everyone, not for young people without any underlying medical problems, but about a third of the population is eligible for it.
Yeah, so Paxlovid, ask your physician. Ask your physician, and then, you know, the search.
And if your physician doesn't know about it, there are places you can go online to get a telehealth visit and a prescription. I've seen that. I've never had to use it, but I understand that that also exists.
Okay. I didn't know about that either. This is Elaine at 312-981-7200. Hi, you're on WGN.
Good morning. My question is, 5 weeks after I had my second shot, uh-huh. I developed mysterious nosebleeds. It would start as a regular nosebleed and then clots dripping into my mouth. Mm-hmm. I have not had my, I've been to ENT, examined thoroughly, mm-hmm. short of a CT scan of the soft tissue. So I've not had my booster. I very much want to get my booster, but there was no resolution to why this occurred. And so now I'm afraid to get the booster. This has gone on mm-hmm. since August 28th.
Yeah, could these be related, doctor?
Last symptom was a month ago.
Doctor, could these be related, doctor?
I don't think so. I think, you know, nosebleeds are so common, and the big problem would be if your platelet count had dropped because of the vaccine, and that would cause bleeding. But you would have bruises everywhere in your body and little red spots and stuff like that, not just a nosebleed.
So, I am on blood thinner.
Oh, you're on blood thinner. Well,
I've been on that for years.
Yeah, then that explains it even more to make it more likely that you would have this. So make sure you don't take any like Advil or anything, right?
Oh, no, none of the, I'm allergic to all NSAID drugs.
Right. Okay, well, this makes sense then. You can have the booster. It's not going to hurt you. COVID is going to hurt you a lot more. Please take the booster.
All right.
Oh, listen, I want to. I think about it every day. I mean, it's making me crazy because I want to, but my physicians weren't very helpful at all.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, and keep your head up.
Good luck
for the nosebleeds. Appreciate your call, Elaine. Thank you. That's a problem. Well, doctor, we hope that you feel better.
I'm having a very mild case, but you know, I'm sick in bed, so it's not a, you know, this is worse than the flu, so just keep that in mind.
Well, we especially appreciate you joining us then if you're not feeling well, but thank you and feel better soon. Dr. Robert Murphy, Professor of Infectious Diseases, Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. Thanks, doctor. Talk to you soon.
Okay, talk again.